single person in here has been impacted by what I'm going to talk about today. Pastor Tardo, you know, in his masterful skill of preaching, he's preached the last couple of Sundays about the sifting. And I'm not going to talk about the sifting. You know, Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But it doesn't stop there, because if he can sift me, or if he can sift you, or if he can derail you, you know what he's doing? He's also messing with families. Yeah. And so this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fight for families. Amen. The fight for families, part one. Part one. This is the introduction, so I'm going to have to unpack a little bit of information, so bear with me. And part two might be a little bit more exciting than part one. First Samuel chapter 29, if you'll turn there with me. First Samuel chapter 29. I want to start reading with verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies in Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which was in Jezreel. So here are the Israelites ready to fight with the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 29. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rear with Achish. Now, at this point in time, David, the mighty man of valor, mighty man of war, David has had conflicts with Saul, King Saul, and David is on the run, and David has found himself living among his enemies with the Philistines. And so in verse 3, 1 Samuel 29, 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel? Wait, we're about to fight the Israelites. Here's David coming to fight alongside us? So you're asking a legitimate question. And the Philistine says, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me until this day. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth. They were mad with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return. Get David out of here. Make this fellow return that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, unto King Saul, unto his people, unto his family? Should it not be with the heads of these men? And so, in other words, they're saying, I don't trust David. David is the one that killed Goliath. David is the one who, and they're going to say this in a minute, but David is the champion of the Israelites. And so now he's fighting with us. Now, here's what's unique about this story. King David has joined with his enemies to fight his family. David, some commentators say at this point in David's life, he was backslidden. You know, some commentators say that. Some commentators say David was doing this, fighting with the Philistines, because he was going, fighting their enemies, which was also the Israelites' enemies, and helping the Israelites as he fought with the Philistines. People have different ideas. True. But here is what I need you to hear. Here is David joining with the enemy and who is saying, I am going to fight against my own people. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever had people in your own family seem like they're your enemy sometimes? Oh, I forgot. I'm in the wrong place. Your families are perfect. It was at the other church I was supposed to preach. So they said, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, surely, as the Lord lives, thou hast been upright, and thy goings out and thy coming in with me and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto thee unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. In other words, these guys don't trust you as far as they can throw you. And then it says, wherefore now return. So go back home, David. Take your men, go back home. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant as long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may go to fight against the enemies of my Lord the King? David is saying, I'm willing to go and fight against my family. This was a sad day in David's life. This was a sad day in Israel's history when their future king had joined with their enemies and was saying, I'm willing to go and fight against my brothers. And Achish said to David, I know that you are good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servant that are come with thee. And as soon as you go up early in the morning and have light, you need to leave. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning and returned into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So David listened to Achish and he returned back home to where he had left his families, his wife, his children. And as I began to meditate on this, it made me think about something, and you'll see the correlation here in a minute. But here is David and his men. They had left their families behind to go to war. And as we look at chapter 30, you see in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, so they've left the Philistines, they've gone back home, and it says that, and it came to pass, chapter 30, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, where their families were, where they had left home, left their families, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So 3 days later, they made it back home. 3 days later, they made it back home, which meant they traveled at least 3 days to get to where they were, did whatever they had to do, and then had to travel 3 more days to get back home. In that span of time, The enemy had came in and attacked their homes and tried to destroy their families. And so the Bible says, once this happened, the next verse, verse 2 says, and had taken the women captive that were therein, they slew not any either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. What people would, who was with David? These mighty men of war. David and these men were hardened warriors, soldiers, valiant men. And it says, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept and cried so much that they literally ran out of tears. And I believe that is where we are in our nation right now. I believe our nation is in mourning because our wives, our sons, our daughters, because our families have been turned upside down in our country. Amen. Families have been ripped apart, torn apart. You watch the news anymore, and all you hear about are crimes that are happening with 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. And in our nation, one thing that has helped to promote this is the absence of the men in the lives of their families. You know, when I look back over my own life, there are times in my life when I was just like David. Just like David. There are times in my life when I would go to work at, let's say, 4 a.m. You know what time I would come home? 6 p.m., 7 p.m. There were times, and my wife and I had gave our testimony here, and I testified about this. There were times in my life when I was working 12, sometimes 14, sometimes 16 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week. And on top of that, we were in the ministry, pastoring a church. Now, how did I do that? How do you do that? Guess what? You don't do that because it will wear you down. It will beat you down. You can't sustain that pace of life. So I'm not pointing the finger at men. I'm giving you some advice this morning. And so here was David and his men, and they were so caught up in the moment of the battle, in the moment of work, in the moment of the job, in the moment of I've got to be the man, to where they were absent in the lives of their family. And I remember one day so well, I had came home from work, kids were, had been bad, as kids are, little small kids, and one of the kids that got in trouble, and I said, look, you better straighten up before I come in there. And they were like, you know what? I wish you would just go back to work where you are all the time. Talk about a heart punch. But it was true. It was true. And so, in our nation, we find ourselves, let me read something to you. Let me read something to you. They did a study. And they were trying to figure out why are there so many broken families? Why are there so many estranged families? And so here is some of the things they came out with. They said estrangement has become an epidemic in our country. So used to, if you had a disagreement with a family member, you know, you get into a big disagreement, an argument, you have your little spat. Next thing you know, a couple of days later, you're back on the phone. Everything is fine. Me and my brother, sisters would quarrel, squabble, you know, and we would just get over it. Today, no. Today, you make me mad as a family member, I'm cutting you off.
You're right. It's true.
I'm blocking you on my phone. I'm blocking you on social media. I'm not allowing you to call me. I'm not allowing you to see my children. This is what the study said.
Yeah.
This is what the study said. That families today, if they get mad at each other, there is no more apologizing. They just break off and just quit talking to each other for weeks, for months, for years. Can anybody identify with that? And what I didn't realize, I've had people in this church tell me that that's happened to them. But I didn't realize this is something that is like a wildfire that's just burning across our nation. And so they talked about, and this was like a year ago they did this study. So they talked about some of the reasons. Some of the reasons were this: because of abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, children were leaving home. Some of the reasons were because of substance abuse, alcoholic parents or children who are addicted to drugs and all kind of reasons. Some of the reasons are political. I don't like who you voted for.
You're right.
So I'm going to stop talking to you. Here's the conclusion I came to. Of all the reasons that they gave, I believe it's demonic.
Amen.
I believe the devil is in the process of trying to destroy families.
Amen.
I think that's the root cause. Yeah. It's demonic. And so as a nation, we find ourselves like David, where families have been split. Fathers are non-existent, non-residential. And so as a nation, I don't believe we realize where we really are as a country. I think you have to have spiritual eyes to see. You know, Jesus, you know, he said, if you have ears to hear, then let them hear. If you have eyes to see, I don't think our nation has eyes to see. I think our families are on fire in America, and the country is so lost and caught up in sin that it can't see what's going on right around it.
Right.
And then to make it worse, I told you part two will be a little bit more exciting than part one, so bear with me. Then to make it worse, we have social media. And so companies have figured out they hire influencers. And guess what influencers do? They influence. It's called influencer marketing. Now, instead of having, you know, all the commercials on TV, well, I'll just get this famous personality to come, go on social media, on Twitter, X, whatever, Facebook, TikTok, And so this influencer makes videos, and oh, while I'm doing my video, I'm drinking a cup of this coffee. And people are so, they have so many followers that they will start buying that coffee.
That's right.
Well, guess what else these influencers have? Some of them have some very twisted and warped ways of thinking and living. Some are caught up in witchcraft. You would be amazed how, you know, with this Wicked movie now that's out. You know, Wicked is the thing. And even everywhere you go, you see this little green demon-looking lady. And so now you have kids experimenting with magic because of this. Well, this is good magic. This is white magic. This is the safe kind of magic. No, it's demonic magic.
That's right.
But because of the influencers, our children are being influenced towards Satanism and witchcraft.
That's right.
So we need to wake up, all of us, because as the family goes, the church goes. If you can break up families and homes, you can literally destroy churches that way. Because guess what churches are made of? And so David, King David, had found himself at odds with his family. And even the enemy, even his enemies, the Philistines, knew that David was supposed to be helping his family. You know, let me go back to my story of being so caught up in corporate America, so caught up in trying to make a career, so caught up in trying to climb the ladder of success that I was leaving my children behind. So let me tell you what I did to fix it. I found myself sitting at my table when we moved here, and God had blessed me to have all my children at the table, my wife and my future son-in-law. We were all sitting at the table. And I started with my oldest son. And I looked at him and I said, "Son, I need to apologize to you. And I ask you to forgive me." And I told him how I had missed out on his life. And I went to my daughter. Well, I went to my son, and after I did that, you know what his response was? "Daddy, come on now. You know you had to work. You know you had to make a living. You didn't do anything wrong." I said, "Son, I need you to forgive me." He was like, "If that's what you need, Dad, I forgive you." And once he told me that, yes, peace came to my heart. And you know what else happened after that? I began to pray over him and speak words of life over him. And I began to say, "In the name of Jesus, I just prophesy life over you, son. And I just speak life into you and your future and your future spouse." And I just began to speak life over him. And when I got through, I went to my daughter. "Baby girl, I need to apologize to you. I need you to forgive me." And when she got through saying, "I forgive you, Daddy," I began to pray and speak life like I never had before. Went to my baby boy. "Baby boy, I need you to forgive me." fathers in the house. And mothers in the house. There comes a time when we need to go to our children and we need to set our pride aside and we need to tell them, I need you to know I love you. And if I have done anything to you, anything to hurt you, forgive me as your father. Forgive me as your mother. And if and when they say, yes, I forgive you, you have just destroyed one of the enemy's tactics. You have just crushed one of the weapons that he is trying to use against your family. And when you do that, you have just opened the door to speak life and blessings over your children like you have never had before. Because now there is no legal ground. Yep. Whew. That's some good preaching right there. Because that kind of preaching breaks strongholds. That kind of preaching breaks the yoke of the enemy. Whew. Here's point number one. Let me get back to the professional preaching. Let me make this point number one. Point number one I want to make is this. Family is a part of the plan and will of God. He wants to bless your family, your home, your marriage, your relationships. Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam. He created man. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And what did he do? He created woman. And Adam said, whoa, man. That might be on the list of some of the worst jokes I've ever made behind the pulpit. Please forgive me. Family was a part of God's plan from the foundation of this earth.
That's right.
Before you had prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, before you had disciples, before you had churches, before you had kings and priests, guess what you had?
Families. Yes.
That was his original design. I want families. And then Genesis chapter 3 is my point number two. Don't forget that there is a devil. And he wants to destroy your family, your marriage, your home, your relationships. And so you come to Genesis chapter 3 and you have the devil questioning Eve about, oh, did God really say he wanted, you know, he didn't want you to eat the fruit from the tree, questioning God's character, questioning God's word, bringing sin into the family, trying to destroy the family. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes. John 10:10, the thief comes, the devil comes. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Guess what he wants to do with your family? Steal. He wants to steal the joy from your homes. He wants to steal the unity that you have. He wants to steal the time away from you and your families. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal for families. I think it's pretty simple. And here's my point number three. What's point number one again? Amen. What was point number two again? Amen. So y'all are listening. You're quiet, but you're listening. All right. All right. Point number three. That's what Pastor would say right now. Y'all awake? Pastor, I just borrowed that from you, but I'll leave that to you to say that, sir. Point number three. We all need to determine in our hearts that we're going to fight for our families and that we are going to be battle ready. We have to determine in our hearts that we're going to fight for our families and that we are going to be battle ready. Do you know, when it comes to having conflicts and issues in families, there is nothing like family problems to beat you down. Man, I could be at work. I could be at work and having a terrible day and have a stuff this tall stacked up on my desk to do. But when I come home, I leave it behind. I'm good. Amen. But you have family problems. That's just a whole different ball game. You have family problems. It messes with you in ways like nothing else can mess with you. When you have family problems, you can find yourself doing things and saying things that are totally out of character for you. Boy, if we had cameras on everybody at their homes, it'd be so many blushing faces right now as I talk about some of the things that you have said behind closed doors. I know I'm not the only husband that gets on his wife's nerves. I can't be. But it's nothing like family. So the enemy knows this. And so he knows if I can mess with your family, if I can mess with your relationships, yep, then I can get you to a place where I can start messing with you.
Yeah, that's right.
And if I can derail your home and get you derailed in your mind and derailed in your heart, I might just get you to be derailed on your faith walk.
Yeah, it's good.
I've seen people walk away from God because they've had family problems.
Yeah.
You know, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let me show you something. So you have these mighty men. David and his mighty men, they've been fighting in battles together, side by side. I mean, these guys are a band of brothers like nobody else. And they are willing to lay down their life for David, the future king. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And let's go back to let's just start back from verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So they kidnapped, human trafficked, all of their families and went on their way. And so verse 3, and David and his men came to the city. They came home, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people, his men, spake of stoning him. His men, who would just a few hours ago would lay down their life and die with him. Yeah. But now that they had family issues, they were like, we're about to kill this guy. Yeah. David, you had us off 6-7 days away from our family, and now here we are coming home, and our wives, our children have been kidnapped. David, this is your fault. We're about to stone you, homeboy. Well, in the Hebrew, it's really not homeboy. It's more like, anyway, never mind. And David was greatly distressed, for the people, his men, spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. When you're grieved over your family, that's when the devil knows, yes. Oh yeah, now I'm going to go mess with David. Now I'm going to go mess with you. The people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here is what I need to tell you this morning. You know, there's a such thing as an oxygen mask rule. For those who have flown on any plane, you've heard this spiel. I've heard it time and time and time again. The stewardess comes up and they stand there and they begin to tell you about the seatbelt. When the captain turns on the seatbelt sign, you have to put your seatbelts on. And if we hit any turbulence, you know, all that good stuff. And it talks about there's no smoking, even in the bathroom. You light up a cigarette, I'm going to come and slap it out of your hand, all that good stuff. And they tell you that in the event of an emergency, that we lose cabin pressure, that an oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling. And it shows you, and you take it like this, and you put it on. But they tell you, you make sure that if that oxygen mask falls from the ceiling, you put yours on first. Don't try and help Sister Susie. Don't try and help Aunt Sally. You get your mask on first. Now, why? That's selfish. Preach it back there, sister. You can't help nobody else if you toe up.
Yeah.
That's not in the Hebrew either, by the way. You can't help nobody.
Nope.
When you toe up from the floor up, when you out of your mind, you just distraught, depressed, despondent, messed up in your emotions, crying, can't do nothing. How are you going to help somebody else? Put your mask on. And this, I'm sorry, I'm yelling at you. Here's the principle. Get yourself fixed first. Encourage yourself in God. You have my permission. You have Pastor Tardo's permission. You have God's permission to take care of yourself first.
Amen.
It's not a sin to get yourself right before you try and help somebody else.
Right. Amen. Amen. First thought.
Please get yourself straight.
Amen.
Because when the enemy messes with you, and he messes with your family, and he gets you beaten down, and you trying to fix your family before you put your own oxygen mask on, the devil's going to say, I got him. That's when depression comes. And you find yourself walking in depression. That's when physical illness comes sometimes. Because you're so caught up in trying to help everybody else. Mamas. Especially mothers. Mothers will just go a million miles to help everybody else to the neglect of themselves. Mamas, come on. Your family needs you. Encourage yourself for a little while. Get your own oxygen. Get your wind first. Then you're going to be able to help not just your family, but maybe other families.
Right. You okay, brother?
Seems like I've been up here for 6 hours the way some of y'all looking at me right now. It's not a sin to take care of yourself. Let me just come talk to y'all for a second. It is not a sin for you to take care of yourself. I'm glad I got an amen. Let me come talk to y'all for a second. It is not a sin for you to take care of yourself.
Amen. 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 I agree.
Even more. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I ain't getting nothing from them. I need to go talk to them.
Yeah.
It is not a sin for you to take time away for yourself and take care of yourself. It is not nothing wrong with that. You need that. You got to have that. Especially in 2026 when the devil is just digging in his old bag of tricks. That's a sermon title. The devil is using his old bag of tricks in 2026. Pastor Tardo, you cannot use that sermon title. I came up with it first. I know you watching. Lord have mercy. I'm bringing it to a close. I really bring this to a close. You know, sometimes we're too proud to say, God, I can't do this by myself. Sometimes we're too proud to say, I need you to pray for me because I don't have enough oxygen to deal with this family issue I'm having right now. Sometimes we're too proud to say, I just don't know what to do. I need godly wisdom. Somebody tell me. Somebody help me. Men, if you need some advice from a guy who knows what it's like to work too much, come ask me. I can give you some advice. If you need advice from a guy who knows what it's like to miss baseball games and practices and stuff like that, come talk to me. I know what to tell you. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you now. Quit doing it.
Amen.
You know what I did? I repented, I stopped, and then I was there, baby. When I could be there for my kids, I was there. And I realized there's no amount of money I can make that can replace the time.
Right.
There's no pair of shoes I can buy them that's of more value than the time that I give them. I repented, I changed, and I was there. That's my advice to you. All right, in conclusion, we talked about John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what he wants to do with families. But that's not where that verse stops.
Amen.
It goes on to say, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords said, the one who has a name that is above all names said, the one who is faithful and true, he said, but I am come. I am come that they might have life. Who is they? They is me. They is you. They is your family. Your family is they.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, you know, yeah, the devil's coming. Yeah, he's coming. He's coming to sift you as wheat. Yeah, he's coming because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what? I'm coming too. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm here and I'm bringing life. No, 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 not just life. I'm bringing abundant life. I'm breathing life. I'm living life. I'm dripping with life. And the same Lord, the same God, the same King of Kings, the same champion of heaven who said that wants to heal your home. He wants to bring restoration to your families. He wants to bring forgiveness and restoration.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to go there. God is saying to his church today, it's time, church, it's time for the church to stand up and begin to fight for your marriages. It's time for church members to stand up and begin to fight for your children. It's time for church members to stand up and begin to fight for your families. Because it is not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. So in part two, y'all ready to get in the part? Let's just preach part two today. I got time. You got time?
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead.
I don't have the energy. So
help them, Lord. Amen.
In part two, I want to talk about some strategies for you to fight for your family. I want to talk about some strategies from the Word and give you some encouragement from the Word and let you know that God is in the business of healing homes,
yes,
restoring families.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I got a word. In early January. No, we've been fasting. We were fasting the month of January. This is the first day you won't have to fast. Hooray! Yes! Yes!
No, we probably should.
For some reason, this year was tough.
Yeah, it was.
It was tough. This was one of the toughest fasts I've ever done. And I believe it was tough because I believe God is positioning his church for greater things.
Yeah.
So this is February 1st. We're breaking the fast. The fast is over. And here are three words that I got. And Brooks, you might have to help me out because I might. The three words that I got were respect, reconciliation, and I can't think of the third R. Respect, reconciliation, and restoration. Respect, reconciliation, and restoration. God wants to breathe a new respect into his church. God wants to breathe respect back into his church again.
Yeah.
And in that respect, with us walking as men and women, godly men and women, walking as a true follower of Christ, there is going to be restoration. Restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. Restoration of honor for who we are as the bride of Christ, and not all of the junk that you hear about on TV and read about, all the people who are falling and all of the junk that's happening. Right. But God wants to restore the respect of the church. And reconciliation. God wants to bring families back together again. And in bringing these families back together again, you'll see a church that is breathing healthy again, because children are coming home, wives are coming home, husbands are coming home, and you'll see churches begin to grow and prosper again because families are restored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for the word today. I'm going to pray over broken relationships and broken families and families with issues and families with problems. If that's you, and I believe it's the whole church, but the way I heard it from the Holy Spirit this morning was to ask you just to stand where you are. If you need prayer for your family, family members, whatever, and you saying, I need you to pray for me, I just want you to stand where you are. You don't have to come to the altar. Stand or wave at me or whatever you need to do. And as you stand, I need you to stand in faith. Because when I pray, I'm not just up here talking. I'm believing God with you. We're standing together. You see all these people standing? You know what this is? It's unity. This is that body that's coming together, and we're going to pray in unity. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as you have given me this word for this church, for my church family, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would begin to bring healing to each and every one who are here, those who are watching online. I pray for them, Father. I pray, first of all, that they would put the oxygen mask on right now and allow your spirit, Father, to just touch them and heal them where there may be brokenness. Heal broken hearts, Lord, where there's disappointment. I pray, Lord God, that you would just touch them. Those who have been hurt and wounded, those who may have shattered fragments from the past still lodged in their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, as the great physician, Father, that you would remove every shattered piece, every splinter from the past,
yes,
every hurtful word that's been spoken. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, Lord, that I break the curse of those words. I break the power of those words, even words that were spoken when these men and women were children. I break the curse. I break the power. I break the side effects of those words in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, for healing. Healing, Lord. Heal hearts. Mend broken hearts. Heal emotional wounds. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I pray for broken and strained marriages in Jesus' name. Lord, the enemy has tried to destroy homes. In the name of Jesus, we stand together and we declare in Jesus' name that marriages will be restored in the name of Jesus. Wayward children, wayward spouses would return home in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of rebellion in Jesus' name. And we pray for humility to be birthed in homes and families and relationships. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, all those ties from the past, even ungodly soul ties in Jesus' name, Father, I agree for them to be broken in Jesus' name. Father, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Break every demonic stronghold over families. Break every demonic lie that's been spoken in the name of Jesus. Break every demonic thought. All the lies that the enemy has spoken in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over minds. I plead the blood of Jesus over your hearts. I plead the blood over your emotions in Jesus' name. I command lying spirits to shut up and cease speaking to your hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus. I even pray, Lord, that even people, family members who are speaking lies, family members who are speaking deaths, family members who are stirring the pot, I just pray that you would convict their hearts, convict them even now. In Jesus' name, bring conviction to sinful men and women and save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. And Father, I pray that your men would stand up and be men and fathers and brothers and uncles. And I pray that the men of God would have a fresh mantle to be who you have called them to be. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I pray for the mothers. They've given so much. I pray that they would take a step back, Lord, and that you would refresh anyone in this room today, Lord, who needs a refreshing. I pray that you would just breathe on them by your spirit, Lord. Refresh their hearts. Refresh their minds. Refresh their emotions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.